Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it, evaded it, still on the move, looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670 The Score. I am your host, Paul Pabst. Pabst, like the beer, P-A-B-S-T. You know, when I'm in Chicago or I'm in Wisconsin or Indiana or Milwaukee especially, if I say my name, I'm like, oh, Pabst, great. If I'm outside the West Coast, East Coast, I always say, have to say Pabst, like the beer. And people are like, that's a beer still? I'm like, come on. The thing about being in Chicago, you never have to spell Pabst. Everyone knows it. By the way, a guy named Pabst hosting a show about football and tailgating, how on brand is that? Let's get right to it. Sean Sears with me today producing NFL Week 2. We're going to recap that. Good teams struggling. Unexpected teams are 2-0. Quarterback injuries. Everything that makes September great. Overreacting to teams being not winning a lot of ball games. Proper reacting. Morale took a big hit in our city. We're going to talk about that with the Lions game the other day. Even though it's been roughed up that game for 4 or 5 days now, I still have a couple of things I want to point out. We're not going to pull the plug on that one yet. We're going to hit the NFL games coming up Sunday. We hit the Bears game against Dallas. We're going to hit college football. Your boy was up last night late watching Rutgers versus Iowa. That's how committed I am to watching football, and someone had to do it. Nice win by Iowa, by the way. And the other thing that's weird about Iowa versus Rutgers, that's a Big Ten game. What is Rutgers doing in the Big Ten? What is UCLA doing in the Big Ten? I guess it's too late for that. I should have talked about this about 4 years ago. But coming up today on The Score, 670 The Score, The Tailgate, Patrick Finley, my boy from the Sun-Times, will join us, and much, much more. And bonus coverage, Sean, making chili today. Got it all planned out. Peppers, onions, sausage. What are your thoughts?
Ooh, man, that sounds like a good chili. Sausage in the chili? I love that.
Yes, I like where your head's at, too. Yes, you want to go with a ground beef, of course, but you put a little bit, I would say like a 3-to-1 ground beef to sausage ratio. The sausage gives a little flair, a little texture, a little taste. We'll break that down a lot later. Here's what I want to start with before we get to the Bears, before we get to the NFC North, college football and pro football. The Cubs clinched a playoff spot this week. Now, they don't do that all the time. You know, it's been, 5 years since the Cubs were in the playoffs. But here's the bigger picture about the Cubs clinching a playoff spot. You may say to yourself, well, they didn't win the division. They only got in the wild card. And it's tough when you're the wild card team. That's true. But you don't take it for granted when you make the playoffs in whatever sport you follow. I don't care if you're an 8 seed in the NBA or a wild card in the NFL. It doesn't matter. Just get in. Go back a long time. Everyone knows Eli Manning. He's got 2 Super Bowls, right? The 2 seasons that Eli Manning won Super Bowls, the Giants squeaked into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season. So that means that they lose those 2 games. Eli Manning never appears in a Super Bowl, doesn't sniff the Hall of Fame. But instead, Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame, right? Just get to the playoffs. The 2010 Packers, they were a wild card. They won the Super Bowl. There's Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl. The 2020 Buccaneers, I think. Yeah, 2020 Buccaneers. They were a wild card team. Let's go back to baseball. The 2023 World Series, Rangers versus Diamondbacks, they were both wild card teams. You just get in. The Cubs looked really good early in the season. They looked really good against the Brewers this year, by the way, which makes some good hope there. They still have to get by the Padres if they end up against the Padres. The Dodgers are not as dominant as they were last year. Don't fall for that. I mean, even Otani is down a little bit, his hitting. He's going to win another MVP. But the path to get to the World Series is possible. Philly's really good. But the bigger picture is for the Bears, for whatever team you follow, just get into the playoffs. Get past round one. Anything can happen. You get Kyle Tucker rolling. Anything can happen for the Cubs. And I think if you look at the different sports, I think the NFL is the easiest sport to get to the Super Bowl if you get to the playoffs. Because a lot of wildcard teams do it. And the format is you win two games or three games at the most. Three games. That's it. It's not a long series. I think the NBA is the toughest. If you're an 8 seed or a 10 seed now with that play-in format in the NBA, you're probably not going to make it to the NBA finals. Here's why. You play 5-game series, 7-game series, and the talent breaks out. The Major League Baseball, if you make it to the playoffs, you can get a little hot streak. A couple pitchers have good nights. But here's the bigger picture about this. Just get to the playoffs is what everybody wants. You can't win the Super Bowl every year, even if you're a Chiefs fan or an Eagles fan. The Bears have made the playoffs 2 of the last 14 years. That means they've had 2 chances to appear in the Super Bowl. In both of those seasons, they were wild cards, and they lost the wild card game. They didn't advance in any way. That's where the lack of hope comes from. That's where the lack of hope from this week against the Lions. It wasn't just a bad loss against the Lions, and I get to that loss in a second. It's the past 15 years. Your football team, and whatever team you root for, if you're listening right now and you're not a Bears fan, you're a fan of whatever, think about your team making the playoffs 2 out of 14 years. That's debilitating as a fan. So the Bears' next game, Cowboys at the Bears. It's the national game on Fox. It's a 3:25 local kickoff. I just checked the weather, 73 and a decent chance of rain. A little soupy there. This is the battle of the bad defenses. You know, Dallas won last week, and they got shredded by Russell Wilson. People were calling for Russell Wilson to be benched. They said his career was over. And he had like 450 yards and looked like Russell Wilson from 6 years ago in Seattle against the Dallas defense. The Dallas defense is brutal. And then, of course, they trade Micah Parsons, which makes it double brutal. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. They can't stop anybody. This sets up as a really nice opponent for the Bears offense to put together a complete game. Not just a nice first drive or first half. And, you know, those first drives have been a bit scripted and they look really good. Then all hell breaks loose. But the bad thing for the Bears also have a bad defense. The Bears defense is both bad and injured. That's a horrible combination. So this sets up to be a track meet. Dak Prescott, he can move the ball. He's got receivers. They can get up and down the field. Decent running game. This sets up to be a high scoring and sloppy game, especially if the weather comes into it. My prediction, which I'm going to save for later, this is probably one of those games where the team with the ball last steals a win. It could be 45-44 for all we know. It's like a Big 12 game. Hey, tune in later today. Bonus coverage. 2 to 5 p.m. is Matt Spiegel. Spiegs hosts a special edition of Hit and Run right here on The Score. They'll break down the Cubs' playoff berth and look at baseball's postseason. I want to hear more about the Padres. I want to see what they're all about. Today, 2 to 5 on The Score and the Odyssey app brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. This Bud's for you. Matt Spiegel a little bit later coming up. Okay, we got to do it. Pause as long as I could. The Bears' last game. By the way, Paul Pabst here, P-A-B-S-T, like the beer, on The Score, 670 tailgate. The Bears' last game was a 52-21 loss to Detroit. I've been listening to The Score all week, and the guys have been breaking it down and picking it apart. And there's not much more I can do with that game but the tone of the game. The second half, right before halftime, and it happened in the Minnesota game. I thought the Bears didn't really press the gas going into halftime against Minnesota, and that set up the second half. Late in the first half, Odunze catches a pass from Caleb Williams. The score is 21-14 Detroit. It doesn't feel like a close game, but it was a 7-point game. I was like, okay, you get to halftime down 7, reset a little bit, and see what you could do in the second half. It didn't feel good. Detroit Lions are a better team, right? It's not really up for debate. The second half looked like a body. I mean, I don't know what was going on there. It was just a track meet. It looked like a bunch of kids invited to play against the Lions. They were just running past them. Goff absolutely shredded the Bears secondary. If you want to win NFC Player of the Week, just face the Bears defense. J.J. McCarthy won week one, Jared Goff week two. I guess you just get the award. I don't know if Dak Prescott got it already, or maybe he'll get it after the game. Here's a couple problems. I don't think that Tyreek Stevenson is a starting NFL quarter. I'm not a guy who could break down how cornerbacks play. I'm not Ryan Clark or guys like that or when I watch him chasing people around the field 3 yards behind the receiver, something's wrong. And I don't think it'd always be the scheme, as people like to say. Tyree Stevenson got the hall pass last year after the debacle against Washington. And everyone said this is the year he makes it. Because if he has a good year this year, he's going to get a contract. And the problem for the Bears is, you know, with Johnson out, with Gordon out, those are your two best, okay? When they're there, you have a very good defensive backfield overall. When Brisker's healthy and playing well. Just haven't seen either of those in a while. But the defense has a average pass rush and now a debilitated defensive backfield. You can get by with one of those things. If you have a great defensive line, you can get by without great defensive backs and vice versa. If you have lockdown corners, you can get by with an average pass rush. Right now, the Bears have neither, and teams are just feasting on it. So when the only positive for a game like that is that the offense played better than the defense and the defense gave up 50, that's really reaching. I found listening to different places in Chicago and watching different shows and reading different things, there's a lot of justifications. You know, Caleb Williams didn't play that poorly. They put up some points. I think that's fair. I don't think the offense was the problem. The running game never really got going. But Adunze had a pretty nice day, and Caleb Williams had a pretty decent day. But if there's a shootout, we got to be able to respond in a shootout. If the other team scores 50, the Bears have to score at least 40 and get in the mix. There was a point yesterday, last week, when I'm watching the Bears game in the second half against the Lions, and it's just awful, the second half. I'm sitting there in my chair, kind of slumped down with a glazed look on my face like I've had a couple beers. I didn't even have any. Should have. My daughter walks downstairs. She's 14. She knows football. And she just sits down quietly next to me and says, "How you doing?" "How you doing?" Like something had happened to in the family. Like something had happened to my dog. Sean, I see you laughing over there, but it's exactly what happened. My daughter's just, she sees Jared Goff just picking apart the Bears defense, and she just goes, "How you doing?"
That's really sweet.
"How you doing, old timer?" It's a really sweet moment for my daughter. But the problem is, she wasn't just checking on me. She saw the defensive back. She goes, "What's wrong with Tyree Stevenson?" She's not some novice who doesn't know football. My daughter knows football. She watches all the time. She watches every Bears game in detail. And so it was bad. And I'm texting with different Bears fans this week, friends of mine. You know, I know you guys know Dan Katz from Barstool and all my different other friends who live in the city, name drops. And it's just, it's a lifestyle of being a Bears fan. And it's tough. It's like living in Buffalo in the winter or living in Fairbanks, Alaska. You know, it's never going to be warm. And that's what it feels like sometimes. And it's mid-September. And after that Lions game, I remember sitting there going, is this it? Is the season over? Is there any hope for this team? There's no defense. There's a bit of offense. There's very little running game. The NFC North is absolutely brutal. Is the season over in September 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th? I mean, it's mid-September. We're not even technically in summer yet, and it feels like the football season is somewhat hopeless. And that's the thing about being a Chicagoan. You could deal with the cold. You could deal with the construction on the Edens. You could deal with all that stuff if you have hope for your sports teams. I really believe that. I've lived in a lot of different cities, a lot. And Chicago and Boston, to me, are the most sports cities in America, where the tone of the sports teams in that town dictates a lot of the mood of the people in that town. I don't find it that way in New York or LA or Dallas or Miami. Those are good sports towns. I think Boston and Chicago are sports towns. I'll throw Philadelphia in there, where the sports teams lead the mood of the town. And that's the thing. You could deal with a lot of things if you feel like your team has hope. You know, if you're a White Sox fan, last year was brutal. But this year, they're going to win 20, 22 more games. They're still not a good team, but it feels like there's hope. There's young talent in the building. They made some good trades. And the Cubs, okay, last year was close. This year feels pretty good. You know, PCA and Tucker and Shota and all the different players. But when you're in September and it feels like your football team is no chance for advancement, it's really debilitating as a fan. And embarrassed and hopeless is a terrible way to feel on a Sunday when you're sitting there being felt sorry for by your daughter. Now, I'm going to give you some good news, a bit of good news here. The next two games for the Bears are Dallas and Las Vegas. Dallas is very beatable. Las Vegas is extremely beatable. Now, the Bears aren't a team where you could just say, oh, check, they're going to beat Dallas. Check, they're going to beat Vegas. No, these are going to be two tough games probably. I think they're going to be close scoring, team with the ball last games, both of them. And the next week is the bye week. Week 5 is bye for the Bears, which would be perfect. Get a little bit healthy in the defensive backfield. But if somehow in the next 2 weeks, the Dallas game's a win, I don't care if it's by 1 point, I don't care if it's a block kick, I don't care. We shouldn't care about anything. And Vegas is a win. You go into the bye week 2-2, you reset yourself a little bit, right? You have a chance to do things. I think that the NFC North is too tough this year for the Bears to really think about playoffs, but who knows? J.J. McCarthy's out. What if something happens in the Lions? What if something happens with Green Bay? You never know what can happen, and there's always a bit of a chance. Hey, Football Talk on the Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL and the CBS and the Paramount Plus. I love Paramount Plus. I signed up. Stream your local NFL game every Sunday all season long at just $30 for your first year. $30, that's easy. It's less than a tank of gas. It's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Now, after that Lions game, Ben Johnson, you know, he talks after the game, right after the game. But then a couple of days later, he talks on a Tuesday. The coaches usually talk on a Tuesday. So this clip we're about to play is not an emotional coach 3 minutes after a brutal loss. This is a coach who's had a couple of days to look at film and think about what he's going to say. Now, again, before we play this cut, part of this cut got a lot of play on national shows. I work on the Dan Patrick Show. We played it. All the different shows played it. But if you listen to Ben Johnson's recap, harsh recap of what his team looked like against the Lions, I think it's very telling. Here it is.
There were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you gotta be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Are there guys that need to practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
Now, that last clip got the most play. Our practice habits yet to reflect a championship caliber team. That's very fair, and I think it's very telling about what's been going on in practice, because we don't see practice. We get a little bit from the beat writers, and we'll have Patrick Finley on the show in about 10 minutes to talk about it. He's from the Sun-Times. But the first part of the clip, they played a little bit harder than us. This is a level of critique that coaches don't do that often, especially week two as a new coach of a franchise. This is either really dangerous or really fantastic territory that Ben Johnson is going into here. When you question your team's effort, not execution, not mistakes with the ball, not to sloppiness with false starts, which the Bears have had all of this. When you say the other team tried harder than us, that's what he said. I'm not making that up. That's what he just said. Now, he also included the coaches and stuff like this. But it's not like the coaches were out there playing. They prepared their game plan like they do every week. He called out his team's effort, right? That could either blow up in your face or work fantastic for you. Guys like Bill Belichick back in the day, guys like Bill Parcells were harsh on their players and put their players in a state of fear sometimes. And I don't know if that's what Ben Johnson is doing, but if you remember going back to when he was introduced, get comfortable being uncomfortable. This is of the similar tone. He's going to call people out. I like it. You know, it's I raise my voice a little bit there, Sean, when I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to go, I liked it. You know, because I'm not 100% sure that's the right tone to call out in week two your players' efforts. You know what I'm saying?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
That's the one that stands out. That's the one that's getting a lot of play. But the one about not trying that hard is interesting.
And I agree with you, Paul. It's interesting because you don't hear coaches talk like that. And I hope it's a sign of difference in Chicago. But, you know, it's a bold way to start.
It is bold, and especially with veterans, you know, guys who've been in the league 6 or 7 years, they may look at this coach and say, you're the new guy. I'm not the new guy. Now, the one thing about Ben Johnson, he can say, like, you know, we're 0-2. You guys haven't held up your part of the bargain. But if it gets that road, I don't think it's going that down the road like that. I think Ben Johnson's too smart to go too deep or too deep into that well of challenging your players' efforts too often. He did it once. I don't think it's going to come back again. All right. A lot to come up later in the show. We're not breaking yet, but we got to recap a little bit the NFL. Week two is interesting. Bengals are now 2-0 with the win over the Jaguars. Bengals, they just got to right the ship with Jake Browning and keep it going for a few months until they get Burrow back. Who knows about that? That Cowboys-Giants game was a lot of fun, but I think there's two teams that are not really going anywhere. Good TV, though. Rams are now 2-0, 33-19 over the Titans last week. Dolphins lost to the Patriots. Dolphins lost again to the Bills. 49ers are 2-0. Without Brock Purdy, they got Mac Jones as their backup. He's really nice player. You remember him from New England. Bills, Jets last week. Bills won again this week. Steelers beating the Seahawks. The Seahawks beating the Steelers 31-17 last week. Bad effort by the Steelers. They had a little momentum week one. Keep an eye on the Seahawks with Sam Darnold out there. Ravens 41-17 over the Browns last week. Ravens are rolling. Broncos, Colts. Colts won again. Colts are 2-0. Daniel Jones, the comeback player of the year story, keeps on going. Cardinals beat the Panthers. Panthers are okay. Cardinals are getting no coverage, but they're 2-0. Eagles and Chiefs last week. Now, this was one of the bigger games of the week. Eagles win 20-17. Their defense really stifled Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs are 0-2. Eagles are 2-0. I don't jump off the Eagles, I'm sorry, the Chiefs bandwagon too often, too early, because I've been burned by it too many times. I think there's a thing in the media. We want to jump off that bandwagon, but don't do it yet. Falcons win 22-6 over the Vikings. Falcons are looking good. And Monday Night Football is Buccaneers over the Texans and Chargers over the Raiders. I like both teams a lot. I think Baker Mayfield is a lot of fun. Buccaneers are 2-0. Chargers are 2-0. Really two fun teams to keep an eye on. But you know, a lot coming up today. We're going to hit some college football next. We're going to hit the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and joined in 5 minutes by Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. That's next on The Tailgate. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. We'll talk some more Bears, some NFC North in a couple minutes, but time to talk a little college football. Well, you know what? By the way, Sean, coming in next week, Cardinals versus Cubs, fan appreciation weekend. I got 4 tickets. Not sure where. I didn't even see the section going to the Cardinals-Cubs next weekend. Looks to be 70 and sunny. Perfect day coming. Can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be an awesome weekend, especially like we were talking about before. No Cardinals fans probably, right? Let me all Cubs out there, hopefully, right?
Yeah. Cubs already in the playoffs. Cardinals nowhere near the playoffs. Unlikely to see a lot of Cardinals fans coming up for this one, which is also a bonus. All right, let's get to it. College football, let's recap last week. Notre Dame is now 0-2. Now, it's a good 0-2 if there could be such a thing because you lost to Miami, you lose to A&M. The committee looks at those as quality losses. Now, the problem for Notre Dame is they basically, I shouldn't say basically, they have to run the table. They have to win all their games upcoming the rest of the season. They have a, I wouldn't say the toughest schedule in the world. I think their schedule is ranked 35th in America, but they got to get to it, and they got Purdue coming up. Last weekend, Oregon handled a Northwestern team. Miami hosting game day. They took care of South Florida. Tennessee had Georgia last week, and they blew it. They absolutely blew it. That would have been a huge win for Tennessee at home. Texas and Arch Manning look shaky again. Vanderbilt drops South Carolina. Keep an eye on Vanderbilt football. Every generation, you know, back in the Jay Cutler days, they have a good couple seasons. Diego Pavia, the quarterback's really interesting. They get a couple more wins. He'll be in the picture for the Heisman. A long way to go. Georgia Tech dropped Clemson. The college slate today is interesting. Auburn at Oklahoma is a big one. Michigan at Nebraska. Nebraska is trying to get relevant again. They're 3-0. If they could beat Michigan, people will talk about them. Purdue at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's given like 21.5. This is the must win of must wins for Notre Dame, and this is Purdue's Super Bowl. Think about it. Purdue, not that great of a team. Never bad, but they're good for one of these every couple of years. Remember a couple of years ago, they took down Ohio State and out of nowhere. Florida at Miami today. Florida is just a mess. Illinois at Indiana. Michigan State at USC. The Illinois and Indiana game is huge for both squads. If Illinois can get past Indiana today, they have a tough month ahead of them. But they put themselves in position. If they go into that Ohio State game in a month undefeated, they can afford a loss to Ohio State. It has to be a close game. Somehow, if they beat Ohio State, they're just on cruise control. But if Illinois wants to get into the playoffs, there's one way. Run the table until Ohio State. a nice game against Ohio State, even a loss, and run the table on the backside of it. All right, let's get to it. Joining us now on the tailgate, he's at Bears reporter Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. He's always at Hallis Hall. You spent the week at Hallis Hall, Patrick Finley. The feel of the building, does it feel like an 0-2 building?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Ben Johnson doesn't put up with this stuff lightly, and you can feel the intensity, maybe not the panic that comes with fans when you start 0-2, but you can feel the urgency, for lack of using a, you know, and I apologize for using a coaching word here, but you can feel the urgency. Ben Johnson comes out and says, listen, we weren't playing hard enough, you know, on Sunday. We're not practicing hard enough, and that needs to change. So yeah, that feels like 0-2.
Yeah, I want to get to that right off the bat because we're going to talk about the game and the future and the injuries. But I liked what Ben Johnson had to say. He did not seem pleased in any way. He seemed upset. He didn't say this is no big deal. He did say be patient, judge us at the end of the season, which I liked. But he did not seem at all in a good mood.
It is funny how the goalposts move a little bit. You know, he gets here and he says, you know, we can win right away. And now it's, you know, we're going to play our best football here in 3 months. Yeah, it's really been refreshing to watch him communicate, you know, to the fans through us and to his players. And, you know, I think it would be more of a story if he had gotten up there and said, you know, we're playing as hard as we can in games and practices and we're 0-2. At some point when you're a coach, you've got to point to reasons. And, you know, these were fairly obvious ones, but just to come out and say it is something that's refreshing and just very different than the way Matt Eberflus liked to communicate in these media settings, at least. You know, behind closed doors, he'd scream at players for not hustling in practice or in games, but that's not really something he would take to the public very often.
Yeah, and I think after week one, the loss against Minnesota, it was an ugly second half, but it could have been a win. This was in no way close to a win. I want to get to the Lions game for a second. What happened in the first half, towards the end of the first half in the Minnesota game, I thought the Bears could have taken control and stepped on their neck a little bit. This was not the same case, but I thought that if the Bears went into halftime down 21-14, they were within striking distance. But then it didn't happen, and it felt like just like they're treading water, like they're drowning men in the second half. What did it look like to you in that game?
It felt like they let go of the rope, didn't it? I mean, part of that is because they start off the second half with a really bad offensive series. As good as they've been to start games, they've been terrible with their first drive of the second half. So they don't get momentum there. You know, they're down 14, and then it just turns into a passing league game. And Caleb Williams, you know, shouldn't be dropping back that often and throwing. You know, when the Bears were good early in the first half, or at least dangerous, it was because they were running the ball. You know, when DeAndre Sweat wasn't throwing the ball up into the air for somebody else to grab, they were running it and running it well. And I think you can see a path there that keeps them competitive even against really good teams. And, you know, there were glimpses of that in the first half. And then in the second half, you just get behind by so much that it's all over. And then you're facing a team that I think is taking a, you know, a particular joy and just kicking the snot out of you. And that's not to excuse it. I mean, you know, the Bears were the ones who let themselves, you know, get beat that bad.
Right.
But it just started snowballing. I mean, Tyreek Stevenson has allowed a perfect passer rating this season. Like, that's inexcusable. But, you know, part of it is also because they're not, you know, defensively, they're doing so many things wrong. And all of that popped up in the third and fourth quarter against the Lions.
Yeah, I want to get to the running game back in a second. But the defense, you have injuries to Jalen Johnson. He is a premier NFL player, the one premier NFL player on the roster, really. And then you lose linebackers, and the defensive line's not doing much. From a talent standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, is this defense fixable?
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and I find it fascinating that because the Bears invested so much in their offense in the draft the last 2 years, you know, you've got Caleb, you've got Rome, you know, you have Luther Burden, you have Colston Loveland, that there's not that sort of upside play on defense, right? Like, you can look at their starting lineup right now and who there is going to be better in week 10.
From week to week.
Yeah. And who's going to be better in December to steal Ben Johnson's moving goalposts? Who's going to be better in December than they are now? And, you know, right now, the one, you know, young player who you drafted, who you had some high hopes for, is a healthy scratch, a second round pick. I don't know where that leap comes from. I think it's got to start with Montez Sweat. I think he needs to, you know, produce Ben Johnson said Monday, when he has one person blocking him, he needs to win that. That seems obvious, but it's not happening. I think Dayo Odengbo has a chance to make that jump. I think in the first game we saw kind of the best version of him. And if he can bring that more weeks than not, maybe that's where you get a little bit of production from this defense. But otherwise, there are a lot of veterans there that kind of, for better and worse, we know who they are. And you know who they are through two games is one of the worst defenses in football.
Yeah, and I really thought at this point last year, I was like, Gervon Dexter, man, he looks like one of those guys. He could be a Chris Jones someday, not soon, but it doesn't feel like he's taking the next step. It does feel like I work in both the national media and local media for the Score, local, for the Dan Patrick National, and there's a big difference in how the Bears are covered in those two different veins. I think the local media is much more fully aware of everything that's going on with the Bears, and the national media is more surface value, face value, and they make wide-ranging opinions. I saw some people saying the Ben Johnson era is over and it's not going to work out with Caleb Williams. I'm sure you saw that as well. But it does feel like, I think locally, Ben Johnson's not getting as much heat, and Ryan Poles is taking the heat for his drafting the past couple of years, not addressing running backs. I'm going to riff for a second here and see if you agree with me. By the way, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times joining me, Paul Papps on the Score of the Tailgate. Last year at the draft, Ryan Poles took a punter and a project offensive lineman from the Ivy League. You and I talked about this last year. That's not what you can do when you're rebuilding. You don't take projects or non-sure things. It doesn't matter if the punter is great. He's a very good punter. This year, I thought, and I was at the draft in Green Bay, when they took Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, I was like, okay, I see it, because you worked on your offensive line in the offseason. You worked on your defensive line in the offseason. But it still felt like luxury picks, like the kind of picks that the Eagles could make or the Chiefs could make or the Bills could make, because they're so set at their positions. And Colston Loveland, as a tight end who he can't supplant Cole Kmet, and Luther Burden can't be the alpha dog wide receiver immediately, they're not going to get a ton of snaps. And by taking those players, they didn't address the needs that they had. What are your thoughts?
I think that Kelvin Banks, the left tackle that they wanted to draft, was picked one spot ahead of Colston Loveland in round one. I think that Travion Henderson, the running back that they really liked, was picked one spot ahead of Burden in round two. I think that in a slightly different world, those two guys are on the Bears and their draft makes a lot more sense.
Right.
What confuses me, though, is that, you know, the whole premise of drafting Loveland and Burden was we drafted Ben Johnson's kind of guys, you know, the guys that fit in his scheme. And, you know, then you go out and you see what each of them has, two catches, one for 5 yards, one for 12. The only time Loveland was targeted against the Lions, it was when the backup quarterback was throwing him the ball. They haven't meshed yet. That's not to say that they won't, but it looks really bad now when the purpose for you bringing them in to fit into this offense just isn't working. Now, tight end is the toughest position to learn, probably other than quarterback.
It's usually a slow ramp up. They usually don't become stars, except for Brock Bowers, immediately.
Right. And you know, and the reason for that's pretty obvious. It's just you have to block like an offensive lineman. You have to catch passes like a receiver. And you have to learn the language of both of them. So I'm willing to give Loveland the season to show me what he can do. But then, you know, you look at Indianapolis and their rookie tight end, I don't know, just leads all of the NFL in receiving yards for a tight end. And you go, oh, he's playing the same position too, right? Like, it's frustrating if you think about it too hard. You know, and when you mention Ryan Poles and the heat that he's getting, I mean, I think Jalen Carter is a very, very worthy argument to make, where, you know, he could have taken him after Carter fell all the way down and he wound up taking Darnell Wright. Now, we can talk all day about whether Carter deserved to be drafted because of the incident that he had. And you know, and if you don't want to bring that into your locker room, I understand that. But you need to nail the pick that you make. And Darnell Wright seems like less of a sure thing now than he did a year ago. And I don't know how in the world that happened.
And Patrick, I'm with you. Sometimes I think GMs get complimented or enjoy the pat on the back for taking character guys. But I don't really, I'm being very honest with you, character is not that important to me September through January. If you can't play that well, then I really don't care what you're doing in the offseason for charity. And so Jalen Carter is a killer. You referenced the tight end from Penn State who is now with the Colts. He was a killer Tyler Warren in college. He was a sure thing. And it's almost like the Bears general manager and management overthinks or thinks they're smarter than the obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the Jalen Carter thing, you could argue to me, I guess, that situation matters. And that Jalen Carter going in to as stable of a situation as exists in football, the Philadelphia Eagles,
right,
probably has played a large role in him not only being a really good football player, but quite frankly, keeping his nose clean since he entered the league. I don't know that that would have happened here. And I don't know if the Bears had the support system for him then. But this is a guy who seems to be on the fast track to what five-time Pro Bowls or five Pro Bowls? What's the over-under, do you think, with him? And if Darnell Wright's a good right tackle, cool. But I don't think he's gotten to that point yet.
All right, let's get into Patrick Finley, the Sun-Times, joining me, Paul Papps, on the Score, the Tailgate. Dallas on Sunday, this feels like a game where it could be 45-44 at the end of the game. Two defenses that are just sieves. Russell Wilson just chopped them up the other day. But the Dallas offense is pretty good, and the Bears offense is good under script. It seems like, and you help me fill in the blanks here because I'm more of an outsider watching the Bears games, the Bears and Caleb Williams do really well on that first scripted drive, and then all goes to pot. What do you think is going on there?
It's almost like the guy drawing up the plays is the smartest offensive guy you can find, isn't it?
Right.
Like, and then it comes time to adjust, and the Bears just aren't adjusting. Ben Johnson was talking about how in the first game, you know, it took him a while to figure out that Brian Flores just wasn't going to blitz as much as he usually does. And that's because Flores got some pretty good defensive linemen and, quite frankly, didn't need the blitz. But by the time the Bears pivoted from that, it was the middle of the second quarter and they had some missed opportunities, as you brought up. So this is going to come with experience. I'm willing to give Ben a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He's never done this before as a head coach, and to expect him to master it in a week or two is probably silly. But this gets back to, as is every Bears discussion, you know, you can look at it, you know, you can look at it on the in the micro view, and then you can look at it in the context of what this franchise has always done. John Fox is the only head coach with NFL experience they've ever hired, ever, full right. stop. So Bears fans who roll their eyes at Ben Johnson throwing the red flag at the wrong time or saying, hey, I gotta call more runs, they're doing that because they've lived through this over and over and over and over again. And that's not to say that Ben won't figure it out, but we've seen what it looks like when the other ones don't.
Right.
And that's where that PTSD comes from Bears fans, I think. And, you know, you mentioned the national media looks at it real different than local media. Part of it is that is the local media has got all of this stuff baked in contextually
yeah.
that doesn't come up when you're arguing about the Bears during a, you know, 5-minute segment on television.
I think that's really well said by you because it really shows the difference between local coverage that people who live it and live in the city. And I'm that hybrid guy. I'm in Chicago a lot, but I've also worked on a national show. So oftentimes I'm on the Dan Patrick Show trying to explain, like, well, this is how it works in Chicago, and this is the history of the ownership, and this is why they are moving to Arlington Heights. Everyone's like, why are you getting rid of the, like, well, it's a park district. They're like, what are you talking about, park district? They don't understand any of it. All right, Patrick, before we let you go, by the way, we're going to talk Cubs at some point down the road, you and I. Week one, Green Bay looked awesome. Week two, Green mm-hmm. Bay looked awesome. And week one, the Lions, not so much. Week two, they got well really quick. If you had to pick the NFC North today, the winner, I think both teams are making the playoffs. I think you do too. Who do you think wins the NFC North?
My smart aleck answer would be whoever. Well, I think it's the Packers probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that even before Micah Parsons, you can make a really good argument there. The fact is, you know, you've got a dome team that plays pretty finesse football, and then you've got an outdoors team that doesn't. And a lot of times when you get to the playoffs, it's just a matter of, you know, where are we playing the game? What's the weather? You know, how banged up is everybody? So I think it really is a coin flip. I'll probably go with the Packers. Now, the thing that would scare me if I were a Bears fan or just a fan of anybody but the Packers is they're the youngest team in football. They're
yeah.
good. They're good now, but they're just going to get better and better. And it's kind of the inverse of that Bears defense that we were talking about.
All right. Last question, final 20 seconds. At any point this season, do you think Caleb Williams could sit, even temporarily, because of performance, not injury?
No. And that's because I think they need to exhaust every last snap with him. and I think that as much as Tyson Bagent and Ben Johnson are wired very, very similarly, and they see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, I think that benching the number one overall pick for an undrafted free agent is it might not be career suicide, but I think it gets you there. And as much good feelings as Ben Johnson has now, I don't think he has that kind of capital to make a decision like that.
Yeah, and that's one of those decisions you can't really come back from, because if Bajan goes in and plays well, the whole town will go with him. Patrick, you three times, third career appearance on this show. I think that's a record. You and Jared Payton might be tied. Thanks for coming on and chopping it up with us.
I was going to say, what do I get? Do I get like a robe or something when I get to five? Will it be like SNL, the Five Timers Club?
The Five Timers Club. Yeah, I will get you a robe. It may be used from a hotel, but I'll get you something.
I'll take it.
Thank you, buddy. That was Patrick Finley, the Chicago Sun-Times. Sean, I think we got to make shirts, tailgate shirts. We got a great logo. I'll call my shirt guy, and they'll be all over the city within a week. I think it'll just tear it up.
I'm surprised we haven't made them yet. They feel like seems like a great idea.
It's shocking, because this is clearly the most popular football show at 7 a.m. in Chicago on weekends.
I think that's easily. Yeah, I think we got that in the bag there, Paul.
Thank you for your support. Up next, our Pub and Grub of the Week. Three and Out, the Morale Meter, and my Bears game prediction. That's next. This is the Tailgate. 670 the
score. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
We're back with more of the Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. Coming up, early odds. Get you ready for the games today. And inside the clubhouse a little later, get you ready for the Cubs. Just saw Bruce Levine walk into the building. Sean, if you could tell Bruce next week when I'm at the Cub game, act like he knows me. It'll help my street cred with my friends when I walk around there. Just, even if he acts like he remembers me from the Dan Patrick Show days when we had him on, it'd be really nice of him to do so.
I'll pass it along. I don't know. Bruce is he's a tough customer sometimes.
Big college football games today. Auburn, Oklahoma, Tulane, Ole Miss. That's going to be a fun one. Keep an eye on that. Love Tulane's uniforms. Michigan, Nebraska. Watch that one. Purdue, Notre Dame. Big spread. I think it's 25.5, but Notre Dame must win. And Illinois, Indiana, I think that game is on NBC and Peacock at 7 o'clock. Tune into that one. Two programs doing pretty well for themselves. All right, we got a lot to get to here. Let's go. Time for Pub and Grub of the Week. We're going to go to a place where we recommend to go to drink beer, eat questionable food, and watch a lot of sports, because what else is life about? We're going to go to Elmhurst. Everyone tells me Riley's Gathering Place. It's a proper pub, very Irish. It looks like 1977 inside from the pictures I've been getting. That's a great thing. Big menu. The TVs aren't huge, but there's tons of them, which is what I like. Fair prices. Check out Riley's Gathering in Elmhurst. Sounds pretty good. All right, Sean, time for Three and Out. You have three questions about football and stuff for me. I have no idea what they are. Let's get right to them. Hit it.
Okay, so the first one, I deviated a little bit here just because the Cubs clinched the playoffs. They clinched on Thursday. It was a fun game. They had the big celebration in Pittsburgh. They come out here, have the classic hungover stinker of a game here, but the Northsiders are in. That's awesome. The real question is, though, can they actually win it all this year, Paul? Is this a team good enough to win it all?
I'm going back to, if you're in, you can win. I think in the NFL, MLB, if you're in, you can win. I think the Cubs' offense isn't as good as it was 2-3 months ago. I think their pitching staff might be better than it was at the start of the season. You match those two things together, I think they could beat anybody. Phillies look really good. The Dodgers always look good, but not as good as last year. I think a great chance because you're in, and if they get hot at the right time. Now, next one.
I like that. Huge game here for the first week of Big Ten Conference play as number nine Illinois takes on number 19 Indiana at Indiana Stadium. How important is this win for the Illini and Hoosiers, and how big of an impact does this have on the Big Ten Conference?
Both teams need a win to stay in the playoff picture. Illinois is in uncharted territories. I think it's charted. They're number nine. Again, if they can just run the table until they get to Ohio State in a month, they'll be fine. Huge. Go ahead.
Last one here. How loud will the noise get for the Bears if they lose to the Cowboys tomorrow? With the start of the Ben Johnson era going 0-3, including a loss to the former head coach, who's now the defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a bad one. You can't have Eberflus walking off the field with a victory. That's a great point that you brought up, because that's a double loss. You always want to beat Dallas. I mean, going back to the, in the day, we get much worse because this is a get-well game, especially for the offense. The defensive backs are really hurt, so this is a tough one. All right, thank you, Sean. Those are really good. Time to get to a few other things before we wrap it up. It's called How's Morale? Our morale meter on the tailgate. We patented it. It's going to win an Emmy. This is the morale of the Bears fans at this moment. It was 5.5 last week. After the game against the Lions, I'm dropping it to 3.9. That's out of 10. That second half made you want to turn off the TV and take a walk on a football Sunday. I don't walk a lot anytime during the week. Believe me, I hate cardio. But I almost turned the TV off and left the room in the second half of that Bears game. That's a terrible feeling. You shouldn't feel that your team is done with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. That's a terrible way to feel. And that's what it felt like at one point. So a long week of national criticism really beat down the Bears fans. So morale is at 3.9. Again, I'm going to get to my pick in a second, but you win the next two games, you're 2-2 going into the bye week. So my picks this weekend, got a couple things to hit. You know, the NFL slate is interesting. Packers at Browns, no problem for the Packers. Colts, Titans, no problem for the Colts. Bengals, Vikings, the game of total backups, should be kind of interesting. Steelers at Patriots. Patriots are better than people are talking about. Keep an eye on them. A big one is Rams versus Eagles. That's a great game. Buccaneers host the Jets. No problem. Buccaneers are going to go to 3-0. Broncos at Chargers on the late slate, same time as the Bears. That's a really good game. Keep an eye on the Chargers if you haven't seen them play this year. Cardinals, 49ers. A couple teams no one's talking about. The Cardinals, they've done this before. They burned us before, but could be a decent team. And then Chiefs at Giants on Sunday night. And then Monday Night Football is Lions at Ravens. But my Bears prediction is this. I think this is going to be a Big 12-style track meet. Very little defense, whoever has the ball last. I'd like to pick the Bears in this game. I'd like to feel good about it. But the defensive backfield feels exposed and injured. Again, a horrible combination. Not enough pass rush to get Dak Prescott. I think he's going to carve up the defense. If Kayla Williams could keep it interesting at half, you could steal a win. But I'm picking Dallas 35-31 in this game. Could be tough. But again, you win against Dallas. You win against the Raiders. You go to 2-2. And the other side of this, you go to 0-3 with a decent Raiders team coming in. And you set up the bye week at 0-4, which would be a disaster. 2 weeks of coverage of an 0-4 team. This is a weekend to get it together. Ben Johnson called out your effort. And you know, that's what it is. Effort, execution, maybe some help. That's a tailgate for week 2. I'm Paul Papps. Try to keep calm. Make yourself a pot of chili like I am. Look up Texas Red Chili recipes. Those are the best. Drink a pint. Take a walk. Get on your couch. Watch a lot of college football today. Check out Illinois, Indiana tonight. And get ready for Bears. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. We'll be here every week talking football, talking chili. This is Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. 670 The Score. Have a good weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.